My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. This weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home, until the day God calls me home.
Thank you, Brother Dan. But until then, we just got to keep on keeping on, haven't we? We really have. Well, Miss Ben and I, we took off a couple days this week for our 50th wedding anniversary, all the way back in January. A couple of good preacher friends of mine paid for us a mini vacation. And so we delayed it until schools were out because of my preaching schedule, my teaching schedule. During the months, I'm always busy and pretty well loaded heavy. And we chose to wait until summertime, but we enjoyed a couple days away, and she put up with me, and I put up with her. Amen? And we made it just fine. But we were glad to be back home, but I thought I'd let you know we did enjoy that, and I wrote a nice letter of appreciation to my preacher friends and thanked them for that. It's good to have good friends, isn't it? I'm glad to have preacher friends that thinks that much of the wife and me, and I was glad to be able to do that. It's always good to be back home, and boy, we're right in the midst of summer, and boy, summer's a busy time for us. Youth camp this week, and Seth's going to be in vacation Bible school. Is that what it is? Next week, all the way over in Oklahoma, and then, boy, in July, we're going to be having vacation Bible school here. Summer months are busy, but I want to tell you something. It's a good way to stay out of trouble, just stay busy in the right way. Staying busy for the Lord, and I can't think of a better thing to do. Well, I'm glad I'm saved. Y'all glad I'm saved? Amen. I'm glad. Man, it sure does help to have a saved preacher, doesn't it? Well, amen. You say, you saved? Well, I know I am. Yeah. You say, how you know you are? Because I've read the book. My name's in the Bible. You say, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Yours is too. You just hadn't read far enough. Mine's in there. I've been called a whole lot of things in the last 48 years. I've been called a lot of things since I've been preaching this King James Bible. Some of them haven't been too kind. But my name's in the Bible. I'm a whosoever. I've been called lots of things. But I don't think God could have chosen a better word than that word, whosoever. Because that includes and excludes no one. Thank God. Your name's in there. Amen. All right. John chapter 1 is where we're going to be this morning for a while. John chapter 1. Spend some time with your family this afternoon. Keep plenty of drinking water around because it's going to be warm, okay? It won't hurt if you get you an afternoon nap. That'll make you feel good and you come back for service tonight. All right? That went over real well, didn't it? Man, I dialed your number right then, didn't I? Some of you already know you're not coming back tonight. Hello? It's already in your schedule. You know you're not, amen? It's already in your schedule. I just thought I'd let you know that I read your mail once in a while, amen? I think we're going to have a good time. What do y'all think? Amen. I work all week. I relax when I get in the pulpit. This is fun. Amen. I like preaching. I hope y'all like it. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read a while. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So for the next few moments, I'm going to preach on the subject, the light that never goes out. The light that never goes out. Let's bow together once again. Heavenly Father, my, what a joy it is to read from the Word of God. The greatest book, the greatest literature ever penned. And I'm thankful that was penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that there's at least one book that's always right. I'm thankful that we have it in our very own possession. And Lord, I'm glad that years ago, I fell in love with the Word of God. I cherish it. I love it. I read it every day. I study it every day. I'm thankful I've memorized a portion of your Word. I'm thankful that through years of study, you've given me at least a working knowledge of the Word of God. I'm thankful, Lord, that you saved me. I'm thankful that if all those you could have chosen, I'm thankful that you touched me one day, that you called me and chose me to preach the Word of God. I'm thankful for the trust that you placed upon me. What a wonderful joy it is to be able to preach from the Word of God. I pray you bless us as we preach today. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. The light that never goes out. When I come to church, it starts thundering and lightning, I always mentally prepare myself for, guess what? The light's going to go out. At least we got batteries and the exit lights come on. And even the emergency lights sometimes, believe it or not, they actually work. But you know, you burn a candle long enough, it's going to cease to give light. You just keep that candle burning, eventually it's going to go out. Guess what's going to happen if you fail to pay your electric bill? Hello? Your light's going to go out. Not by your intervention, but by the electric company's choice, amen? Your lights are going to go out. You forget to turn your flashlight off, like so many of our grandchildren do. Man. Y'all ever have a problem with flashlights around your house? We probably go through the house and count 15 light bulbs, flashlights, and we'd be lucky to find one that'll burn. Man, I guess they're just for decoration. I don't know. Just for decoration, I guess. I tried 4 or 5 the other day and never did get one turned on. You forget to turn your ignition key off. You leave it long enough, your battery's going to go dead. Not only your engine not start, your lights won't burn. All the energy's going out. In a few hours from now, the sun will go down. It's going to get dark. That's going to be later because it's summertime. Along about 8:30, that sun's going to set. And darkness is going to come upon us tonight. But having said all of that, isn't it good to know that there's at least that one light that never goes out? And His name is Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. In John 8, verse 12, then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now the world, for the most part, hadn't figured that out. They just get up every day, absorb God's sunshine, and never think anything about where it came from. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But He went on to say, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is the light of the world. But isn't it so sad when you look around at the world, that for the most part, the world is loitering around in spiritual darkness in spite of the light of the world. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I want you to think with me for a moment about this. That light is kind of like a laser beam. And I'll explain that a little bit further here in just a moment. But going back to verses 4 and 5, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, oftentimes you may be in a large theater or a large stadium, and anytime you get people like that together, there's always some loose nuts in the crowd. You ever notice that? There'll be some nut that he's got one of those beams, and you know he wants to shine that laser around and try to blind somebody. Young folks, you do something like that, you're deserving of a lynching, or at least a good whipping, amen? Don't ever do something like that. But yet they're loose nuts, crazy people out there. They'll always try to do something like that. But yet the light that we're talking about this morning oftentimes is like that. Now let me prove that to you. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and we're going to pick up with verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Let everybody get there real quick. For sake of time, I'm going to start reading. If I get there first... Well, I happen to be there already. But if you get there a little late, catch up with me. I'm in chapter 9, verse 1 of Acts. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, where they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And, notice this, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly... there shined round about him A light from heaven. Long distance. A light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now notice that he says this, Who art thou, Lord? If you read a little farther, you'll determine that that bright light blinded him. Now that's exactly what's going to happen if somebody flashes one of those laser beams toward you. It's temporarily going to blind you. And so that's why I came up with this idea, Robinson idea, that the light of Christ is somewhat like a laser beam. Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? You read a little bit further and you'll discover that it took him 3 days to get his sight back because that light from heaven had shined upon him. Consider this. Here's a man, Saul of Tarsus, a very brilliant man. If they had a university in the city of Tarsus, I would highly suggest that he was a graduate from that university. The Bible tells us that he was trained in the Jewish religion. He was the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, you read in the book of Philippians, he just gives his testimony. By the way, let me ask you something. How long has it been since you gave your testimony to somebody? How long has it been since you just, in a conversation, said, let me tell you about the day that I got saved? Hello? I believe Paul was this kind of a fellow. I believe he'd walk into town, if he'd walk into a restaurant somewhere. They didn't even have McDonald's in those days. But anyway, he sat down and strike up a conversation. And he probably said, by the way, have I ever tell you folks what happened to me on the road to Damascus? If Bill Feast was sitting there on the front pew, I could say, Bill, tell me when I got saved. He'd say, February 28, 1967. You know why? Because he's heard me say it so many times. How long has it been since you gave your testimony to somebody? How long has it been since you told maybe how the Lord blessed you in some special way? God is good, amen? He's good to all of us. But why do we keep it secret? Why can't we just open up and talk? This week, one of the preacher friends had paid for us a meal at Teeter's. College of the Ozarks, just across the Missouri line. Never been there before. But we went in, very impressed. Quite large restaurant there on that campus. Discovered that, now listen to this, young folks. You're not going to like this, but you listen anyhow. Amen. Every student goes to that college free. But they have to work. Every one of them has to work. And in that restaurant, you see those kids just working and nice and friendly. I was highly impressed with their behavior, how they would approach us and so forth. And this young lady was serving us. She said, and the joy of the whole thing is we can talk about Christianity and Jesus Christ all we want to. And I said, oh, I like that even better. She took my card. She's from Tennessee. She said, if I ever pass through Bradford, Arkansas, I'm going to come hear you preach. And I said, honey, you miss something if you don't. I mean, I just had to be a little sarcastic, amen? But anyway, real nice. Wonderful place. I'm glad to be around folks who are not ashamed to share their testimony. Because most folks are saved, safe, and silent. Y'all thought I was going to say safe, safe, satisfied, didn't you? Amen? Safe, safe, and silent. Silent. Man, next time you go to the doctor's office, before you leave, ask the doctor if you went to church Sunday. I do. Ask him where to go to church at. What did the preacher preach on? Next time you're in the insurance office, sooner or later you're going to have to go. Ask your agent if he's saved or if she's saved. Where do they go to church at? Hey, I learned something. They're going to take your money. They can't be rude to you. Amen. It'd be kind of hard for them to take $50 of your money and say, get up and get out of here. No, they're going to say, when are you coming back? Amen. Hey, y'all having a good time? Huh? I used to say I didn't come in on a load of pumpkins. And Brandon Dunn used to laugh every time I'd say that. But my mama didn't raise a fool. I've learned how to witness those kind of folks. I know they're fixing to take my money, so I'm going to say something to them. Amen. Amen. Try it sometime. You get by with it. They won't get mad at you. Little Saul of Tarsus, well-educated guy, but he did not know the one person he needed to know. Now, you listen to me. You may know the president, but it's only because you saw him on TV. You may know the Pope, but it's only because you saw him on TV. You may know some very important people that's a part of your life. But I don't care how many prominent, important people you know. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. Saul of Tarsus, educated, very important, high class fella, knew a lot of people, but he did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Because when that laser beam hit him on the road to Damascus and blinded him, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" That's the one that we preachers introduce you to every time we step in the pulpit. And his name is Jesus Christ. Y'all said that like a bunch of backslidden Methodists. Amen? His name is Jesus Christ. He is the one. Now, we're very long. Verse 9 tells us that that was the true light. The true light. Now, this is a religious world. But Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he is the true light. Mohammed's light went out 1,500 years ago. And the Muslims are now walking around in darkness. Buddha's light went out years ago. But his followers are still walking around in darkness. And there's a generation running around today that's following all these TV preachers. And they're roaming around in darkness. I said this in a conversation with somebody the other day. We don't have a real strong fundamental spokesman on television anymore that speaks biblical truths and tells people they're sinners. We don't have a strong spokesman for us. We don't have a Billy Graham anymore. We don't have a Jerry Falwell anymore. We have a James Robertson, but he's quit preaching and started feeding the kids. We don't have a strong spokesman on television for us anymore. Now, there's a lot of preachers on television, but they preach the prosperity gospel. Send your money to us and just see how God will bless you. I watch old Mike Murdoch sometime. Y'all heard him? Two people have. And the rest of you don't want to admit it. I watch those guys periodically just to expose them. You know how to tell when Mike Murdoch's lying? Just watch, see if his mouth opens. And watch him twitch that neck. Every once in a while he go, that means he just told another lie. Amen. And send me your $58 a month seed and see how God bless you. I wonder how many thousands of people have been deceived by that. Send him their last $58 when they ought to be putting that money in their local church. And he's gotten rich and become a millionaire by people planting their seed. Everybody doing okay? Hope you hadn't sent him $58 a month. You have. You're the one I'm preaching to. Amen. Plant that seed. Plant that seed. In other words, what they're saying is, you send your tithes and offerings to me. And then when you die, I get on my jet plane and come preach your funeral. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. No, no, no. You call on some old country boy like me or Brother Lettmeyer or Brother Seth or brother, somebody like that to preach your funeral. Amen. Everybody still doing okay? Amen. Folks never knocking a church door. Listen to those radio preachers, television preachers. Send their money to them. Expecting to get a blessing. And then when they die, call some preacher. Some local preacher. Oh, we need a preacher. We need a church building. We can have a funeral. Amen. Here's another one. Look at verse 9 in our text. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Did y'all hear about those two Calvinist preachers that went out soul winning? I didn't either. Because they don't go. They just sit around waiting on God to save that elect one, that selected one, and then they'll gobble him up or her up and let the rest of the world die and go to hell. Amen. I'm glad I'm a whosoever. I started that way. I may wind up that way after a while. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Not some men, but every man. Now, I'd be the first to say this. I think some folk are given more light than others. I won't tell you what that'll do. That convicts American people. Shame on American people. That we've been given so much light. Access to so much biblical truth. The average American has heard the gospel preached till it's boring to them. But yet there's an element of people in the world that are starving for it. If I could call back 15 years, I'd say, Lord, call me to be a missionary to the Philippines or someplace. Why? Because people like that are so receptive to the Word of God. They make American people look sick. When we were there several years ago, you get up and preach and give an invitation, 8 or 10 or 15 people walk out and get saved. And they're still not ready to go home. You preach a second preacher, give an invitation, another 10 or 12 or 15 get saved. In 4 days of preaching, 54 people got saved. They're hungry, still there at midnight when us old mossback, backslidden Baptist preachers looking for a motel where we can go to sleep. They're still at midnight wanting more, more preaching. Hungry for the Word of God when it's boring to the average American. They've heard it till they're bored. They don't care about hearing it anymore. But this verse proves to us that the gospel is for every person in the world. It's an established fact that all men are sinners. The Bible is very clear on that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But all men are in some degree of enlightenment and they're called of God. All men to some degree. The Bible tells us that mankind is depraved. That man cannot be saved without some enlightenment. I understand that. Some moving of the Holy Spirit has to take place. But every man in the world has some of that. Has some of enlightenment that God gives to every person in the world. Because the Bible is clear. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Romans chapter 2 verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness. And their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. God gave to every person a conscience. Now, people always say, let your conscience be your guide. I guess I'll just go on percentages. Probably 75% of the time, that's probably correct. But it all depends. Because, see, Paul said a time will come of some folks where they have a conscience that's seared with a hot iron. You ever burn yourself? You say, boy, that hurts. No, it doesn't. The spot where you burn doesn't. It's the nerves around it. Amen. You can rub that spot right in the center. It's numb. It's the nerves around it. Paul said, conscience seared with hot iron. Where they have no feeling. You can go past feeling. You can reject the Holy Spirit of God. You can reject Holy Ghost conviction. You can reject Bible preaching to the point, and I don't know where it is. I can't set the point and the time, neither can you. But there comes a time where you said no, 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 until God finally says, okay, if that's the way you want it, I'll let you have it. And God began to deal with some other person. But until then, every person has some kind of enlightenment, a conscience. I use this illustration often in my preaching. In the little book entitled Cowboy Boots in Darkest Africa, he's now already dead in heaven. Dr. John R. Rice's half-brother, Bill Rice, was a full-time evangelist. One year he went to the darkest jungles of Africa and worked with missionaries there for 6 months. One time they ventured all the way in to the deepest part of the forest of Africa, to a little area where the pygmies live. You know what that is? Little short people. Little short people. Pygmies. They got there. They began to preach. And there was a little pygmy fellow there. His name was Terasi. And Terasi got saved after he heard the gospel preached. But then his testimony went like this, and it's in that book. I've loaned that book to a college student, and guess what? Hadn't seen it since. But anyway, Terasi's testimony was like this. He said, you know, he said, all my life, he said, I thought there had to be something. And he said, many times I'd climb up into a tree. And I'd climb up to the highest limb. And I'd get way out on that limb. And he said, I'd look up in the sky and I'd say, God, if you're up there, can you hear me? God, up there, can you hear me? But he said, I never heard a voice. Well, I got news for you. God heard his voice. And you know what God did? God sent those missionaries to preach to him. Terasi simply moved on what light he had. And after he heard the gospel and got saved, he said, you know, I always thought it must have been something like that. What happened is, Terasi didn't have the light that American folks have, but he had a conscience. And his conscience told him, he said, you know, there just must be a God. And he cried out to that God, just like old Cornelius did in Acts chapter 10. And God sent Peter to preach to him. And he got saved. Sun and the changing of the seasons. Creation itself tells folks there must be a God. Let me hurry along. Savior of the world, John 4:42. And they said unto the woman, this is the Samaritan woman, the well, got saved, went into town, told all the men of the city how that she got saved. And they came out to see Jesus himself. And they said, now we believe, notice this, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And then Luke chapter 2 verse 10 says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then last of all, as we begin to wrap it up, the Bible tells us that he's not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. If there was never another verse of Scripture in my Bible, I could look a Calvinist in the eye and say, my God is not willing that any should perish. Amen. And to believe that God is only going to save just a little handful of folk and everybody else is going to die and go to hell, I don't know if they even know the God I know or not. Because the God I know is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus summed it up like this in John 12, verse 32. He says, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men." How many? All men unto me. Creation speaks of God. The Scriptures speak of God. Where no Bible is, our conscience speaks of God. The one light that never goes out. His name is Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Have you responded to that light? In the third chapter of John, it talks about folks who believe and folks who don't. It talks about darkness and talks about light. You can go out almost any day in your yard or your lawn. You pick up a board that's been lying there for a while. And you see all kind of varmints begin to scatter. Find holes to hide in and so forth. Why do they do that? Because they don't want to respond to the light. Their life is darkness. They prefer to live in darkness. But you go back a few days later where you pick that board up and you'll notice grass, flowers have come up instead. You know why? Because their life is light. And they respond to light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Let me ask you a question. Have you responded to that light? Or do you continue? Do you choose to walk in darkness? It's just that simple. He's the light of the world. He desires a response because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yesterday evening, I don't know much about botany. My wife doesn't know any more about it than I do. But we do love flowers. Each year, we try. There's something about our soil that just doesn't work very well for flowers. But I put out some seedlings a couple of weeks ago. And one of them's morning glories. You know what they do? I always hated those in a cotton patch. I was going up chopping cotton. Now, you young folks, I'll explain to y'all later what that means so you don't have any idea, but we hated them because they climb and they run. And then I've got some other seedlings we're going to put out tomorrow evening late. It makes pretty yellow flowers. But I've learned that you got to have the right kind of soil. I called you the other day and told you to water my flowers. You didn't put enough on them. You did water them, didn't you? The girl, now he's passing a buck. He said, the girls did. Well, you didn't put enough water on them. Those morning glories, the bottom leaves were about to fall off yesterday evening. But you know what I did? I went ahead and dug my hole, put some good, rich soil in it, and went ahead and took those morning glories out of my cups and set them in there and watered them real good. And this morning, they're beautiful. You know why? Not so much because I watered them, but that sure did help. But they were responding to that morning sunlight. And they're pretty, Miss Benda. They're pretty. I hope I have as good success with those yellow ones that I transplant tomorrow. But God's nature, animal world, plant life, responds to his light. Why can't we do the same? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Let's stand together very quietly.